Yes, this is about where we start the show. Once again, this is Republic of Texas Radio. It is July 9th, 2023. Another live broadcast. You know, I lead a pretty boring life. You know, I'm here just about every Sunday. Only missed a few, and a few of them were because, you know, there were holidays falling on our day. No, I try to be here for y'all just like y'all are here for me, you know. Once again, this is Alan Crutcher, you know. I will be your host today. Once again, Steve is MIA today. Nothing drastic, you know. He's still all right, you know. We all fight our own demons, and he's just, you know, having problems like, you know, a lot of people are in today's world, and he just, you know, doesn't feel like the happy-go-lucky, you know, person he generally is with me, you know. You know, we kind of hit off each other pretty well. Been doing it for quite a few years. You know, different lifestyles, different upbringings. But, no, Steve's all right. He's just going, you know, through whatever he's going through. I'm not going to get in-depth on it. But Steve is all right. But, you know, so y'all have to put up with me today. And actually, in a little while here, I'm going to be bringing a friend of mine on. But I wanted to do my little opening soliloquy here, you know, whatever you want to call it. You know, if you were listening to this show, you know, and this is not an attack on anyone, but I hear these vegan people, you know, and it just really, you know, they say we weren't designed to eat meat, you know. You know, look at a cow, look how big a cow is. Look at an elephant, how big's an elephant, you know. But, you know, as far as, you know, I've studied anatomy, you know, human anatomy, animal anatomy, dissected, you know, dogfish, sharks, and mud puppies, and cats, and all kinds of things, you know. And, you know, mainly vegetarian animals have several stomachs. They are called ruminants, you know. A lot of times, you know, they'll go out and they'll just pig out, and then they'll lay down and they'll throw up in their mouth and re-eat the stuff, and it goes into a different stomach, and it breaks the cellulose fiber down, you know. They've got several different stomachs that process this, you know. And that's how they can survive on that, because, you know, I've only got one stomach, you know. As far as I know, most carnivores only have one stomach. A lion only has one stomach. A cat only has one stomach, you know. They're made to eat mainly meat. Do they eat, you know, a bear, you know, eats mainly meat. But they also eat berries and grass and stuff like that. They're if you want to call them, not herbivores, but omnivores. Yeah, that's the term for it, you know. We're made to eat both, you know. And I can tell you for a fact, you know, I've got a pet deer out here, and y'all have heard me say this. It's like kind of freaked me out when I first saw her doing it. I had something killing my chickens out here, you know, and this is during the winter when it was real cold outside, not a lot for the deer to eat. You know, I understand that. But, you know, so I pegged a chicken out outside my door out here with a cowbell on it, you know, on a string. And when it would start ringing, I'd open the door up with a shotgun or something, you know, expecting to kill a coon or a fox or something that was killing my chickens. And guess what I saw out there most of the time eating on my chicken was my pet deer, you know, wearing a collar out there. I'm like, oh, my God, you know how disturbing that was? I thought deer were strict, you know, herbivores, you know, ate nothing but plants. My deer was out there snacking on this big, fat chicken that something had killed, you know, just ate the head off of it. You know, almost like it was joking with me or, you know, punishing me somehow. But you know, I caught my deer outside eating chicken, and I said, well, they were probably just eating the stuff out of the craw. I'm like, no, the craw was long gone, you know. They were snacking on the thighs. They went for the dark meat first, which I'm kind of a dark meat person myself. And, you know, then they went for the breast and everything else. And these deer were outside fighting over this chicken like a pack of wolves fighting over a moose carcass. I mean, you know, so this strict everything, you know, that everyone tries to tell you, it's like strict this, strict that, you know, that's complete BS in the real world of things, you know. And I'm not bitching at anyone in particular, you know, but these people that say you have to lead your life this way, you know, I personally know someone here in my local area, and they were strict vegans. Hell, they even made their dog a vegan. And this was one of the most sickly little dogs that I'd ever seen. Of course, these people were kind of really thin and raily and didn't have a lot of muscle mass or anything. But this lady was always sick. She finally went to a doctor and she said, well, I'm a strict vegan. And he goes, oh, no, honey. He said, you know, with your body chemistry, your particular body type, she actually went to a doctor who didn't just go by, you know, standard of care, you know? And he said, oh, no, honey. He said, you need meat protein. And guess what? You know, she started eating, you know, chicken and fish, you know, the white meats, you know? And guess what? This lady just snapped back to life. She was happy. She was vibrant again. But, you know, once again, folks, everything in this world, everything in moderation, you know? What do you think is going to happen to you if you sit down for lunch every day and eat 8 heads of lettuce, you know, because you're a big person and you just engorge yourself with lettuce? Do you think you're going to be healthy, you know, sitting down and eating 8 heads of lettuce for, you know, I'm really hungry, you know? No. Nothing in mass quantities is good for you, you know. I've never been one of these, you know, Thanksgiving is about the only day that I can remember where I'd leave the table and it's like, yo, you just feel like you want to puke, you know. You just stuff yourself because everything tastes so good and you've got friends and family around and you just eat and eat. And then you go out and you fall asleep on the floor or the couch or wherever, you know, and you sleep for a while. That's never been me, you know. I still weigh 160 pounds. That's basically what I weighed when I graduated high school, because I eat a very small meal. You know, I would have been a great date for most men out there. You know, it's like, you know, oh, let's go out to dinner, honey, and it's like, you know, no, I don't need to order a whole lobster. I'll have a dozen crawdads. You know, that's about, you know, $2 worth of food. You know, it would have been fine for me. You know, Everything in moderation, folks. Everything in moderation is not generally bad for you. I mean, yeah, there's stuff out there that you should never put in your body. But you know, I hear these people say, well, if you're taking in foreign DNA, you know, it's going to kill you. It's like, well, you know, plants have DNA also. What the hell do you think they're doing to plants? You know, this GMO crap, you know? Everything is being bastardized. Do you think eating a GMO plant is doing good for your body? No, because it's not natural, you know. I don't care. You know, you can be a vegan and eat all the GMO crap you want to, but I can guarantee you, eventually, it's going to make you sick because it's not from nature, you know. I try to eat as much, you know, a natural, you know, food. You know, deer that run around on my property. You know, grass-fed cattle. You know, my chickens pretty much free range. I supplement a little bit. You know, they run around and eat grass seed and you know, weeds and, you know, grass and everything else. And, you know, the eggs are so much better when they come from a free range chicken. Yeah, there is the problem that, am I going to try to tell all the foxes out here and the raccoons and the skunks and everything else that wants to eat my chickens? It's like, you can't eat my chicken. You're not made to eat meat. Nothing's on this planet is made to eat meat. No, that's just crazy. That's just freaking insanity when you think that everything has to be one certain way. We are all individual people. We all have separate DNA. We all have different body types, different blood types, different physiological needs. You know, some people can't exist on a mainly vegan diet. Some people can exist on a complete vegan diet. But, you know, am I going to get my protein from soy? Well, hell no, you know. Hemp, you know, is a different subject, you know. We could go on with that for quite a while, you know. I've actually done hemp powder, you know. And this is back when I was working hard. I ordered hemp powder from the Hemp USA guy. I used to be on. Okay, thank you, Sam. Yeah, I hear my guest is with us now. But, you know, hemp powder, you know, this is back when I was working hard. Unfortunately, I was helping build, you know, I was putting water and sewer lines underground, you know, helping build new neighborhoods, which I kind of feel bad about now because I was actually kind of inadvertently part of the destruction of my community, you know, building all these housing communities for all these, you know, people invading us from basically California for the most part, in what used to be a nice community. But, you know, I think one time I did it for 5 days. All I did was 2 ounces of hemp powder in the morning for breakfast. We'd sit down, we'd stop for lunch. I'd take 2 ounces of hemp powder and pour it into a glass of water, stir it up, chug it back, and I'd do the same thing for dinner. I did that for 5 days, working hard labor. And, you know, me, I never felt like I was deprived of food. I never got weak, anything else, you know. So is there truth to, you know, the values of hemp? Not just smoking it and getting high, but the nutritive value of it, you know? I had friends that grew up in Iowa that said, you know, and they just called it ditchweed because, you know, it was hemp. It wasn't marijuana, you know, the devil weed, you know, like from the movie, you know, where everyone goes crazy when they even, if you even look at a hemp plant, you know. If you even looked at a hemp plant, you're stoned and you're a bad person. But no, the nutritive value and the ease of growing it, the fibers you can get from it, I can tell you, you know, the fibers in a stalk of hemp are pretty damn strong, a hell of a lot stronger than pulling apart a cotton ball. I can tell you that, you know, it's got a lot of structural integrity to it, you know. The clothing that used to be made from it, you know, and the clothing you can still buy now at very inflated prices for something that can grow in a ditch, you know, along the side of a road in Iowa. You know, I had a friend that was from Iowa, and he said, oh yeah, you can drive around in Iowa out in the countryside, and there's pot growing in the ditches, you know, but you can't get stoned on it because that was, I guess hemp and marijuana, you know, same plant with just, you know, selective breeding, you know, to bring out, you know, the higher THC content and everything else, not necessarily genetically modified, but you know, if you want to call it hybridized or selective, you know, breeding. You know, you crossbreed, you know, different plants, and you can get different things, just like you can with different, like a cow. You know, what do you think? You know, you get a Holstein, you get a Hereford, you get an Angus, or you have crosses between those. You know, so that this one size fits all thing that I hear from even good people, well meaning people, just really gets under my skin sometimes. And I hear my friend breathing in the background, so I guess that you're there, Matthew. And I don't have a bio on my friend here. He's kind of one of those non-bio people, you know. So I'll bring Matthew on. And very intelligent guy. This is the guy who introduced me to Judith Berry Baker, you know, who you know, when I had my show on, you know, and later today, you know, for a couple of months I had a show. And, man, he introduced me to Judith Berry Baker, who is still a friend of mine. And, you know, to try to bring to y'all some of the truth of the past, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald and Dr. Mary's monkey, you know, the cancer, you know, the rampant cancers and everything else that's going on. I value Matthew's a friend of mine. I value his opinion and I like talking with him. And with that, Matthew, I'll shut up for a couple of minutes and let you kind of come on and do your little bio and tell us as much about yourself as you want to.
Well, I wish I hadn't exhaled so deeply, but because I was enjoying that. I was really enjoying that. No question about it. But I remember being back in college and like 1990, something like that, and they would set up this normal, you know, like booth, and it was for the
National
legalization.
Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, yes. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, maybe I was well-read, but a little hot-headed, a little arrogant, and I told them, I said, they will only legalize marijuana in America just before they crash the economy. Now, I had no knowledge of economics, and I was just speaking off the tip of my tongue. And it certainly seems like that's what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meaning that, you know, you sedate everyone as you destroy their currency.
Well, you know, they will legalize it instead of just unrestricting it, because when they legalize it, that involves control, just like they legalize the making of alcohol. You know, during Prohibition, you know, there were ranches, you know, all out through the countryside, everywhere out here. You know, if you went to three ranches, one of them had a little still somewhere, and they were making alcohol. You know. And when they made it illegal, there was more of an alcohol problem with people getting drunk and going to speakeasies because it was taboo then, and it was kind of a trendy thing to do, you know. You know, when this whole war on drugs crap started, you know, what happened? Well, of course, you know, drug use got worse, and there are people making money on it, and a lot of them are in the government. Oh, imagine that.
Anytime they're going to wage a war on something, they're going to make the alleged problem much worse. War on poverty, war on terrorism, war on drugs. you know, and then you get crack cocaine. So yeah, we're living in an interesting period in America's history, and what I've come to understand is that I believe that America and Europe, the EU, were really designed, I think, to simultaneously fall, and I think that we're witnessing that as we speak.
Matthew, real quick here, before we go on too much, tell the audience a little bit about yourself. I mean, you're a very intelligent man. You know, you've got some, you know, some schooling, some learning. You know, you got past the third grade and everything. You know, got
well,
past the eighth grade.
I'll tell you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, about what you've done. You know, you've written books. You're a notary.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all different kinds of things. You're very well rounded.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is that you go to the university system, okay? And I was just reading an article from Paul Craig Roberts about the Federal Reserve, and he stated, you know, as an indoctrinated, you know, professor, you know, I taught my students that the Federal Reserve was created, to stop bank runs and keep the stability of of our currency, et cetera, you know, and, you know, now he recants that, of course. So basically, whatever happened to me in the university, it took about 10 years to actually detoxify and to actually really learn about how this world works. And then there was 9/11. 9/11 happened, okay? And, I mean, that was, at least for me, an obvious televised production of stage magic, of illusionism.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm not saying buildings didn't come down. Of course they did. But what I'm saying is that was a wake-up call. I saw it with just open, fresh eyes, that this was a made-for-TV event, and I stated such. And the two friends I was sitting with early that morning, you know, were so offended. I was anti-American, you know, and I've heard that a number of times. Whenever you question, you know, bad government, one stands to be accused of.
They throw their fingers up in front of you and say, heretic, heretic. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, basically, I mean, this is very similar. I mean, this is, you know, we're entering a new period, a new age of Inquisition. But basically, I'm kind of an observer.
Well, you know, you've done what, like cultural anthropology? You know, you studied different civilizations, different, you know, religions. You know, you've done a vast array of things. You're very well rounded. You know, I love talking with you. You know, every time we talk, we go off in different directions, and you know exactly what's going on. That's why I love talking with you, man.
I know a little bit, you know, but the thing is. We're entering a period right now where the children of today, and I'll say, like, let's say 10 to 15 years old, have never written and sent a letter through the mail system.
No.
We are losing the ability, simultaneously, we are losing the ability to write with quill or with pen, et cetera.
How about writing with intent and feelings? Because when you sat down with a pen or a pencil and wrote a letter to a relative or a friend, you actually had to think about what you were writing. You sat down and you wrote this letter, you compiled it in your head, and you wrote, you might scratch out and erase, you know, and rewrite it, you know, a phrase. Because you were going to put a stamp on it and send it off, and it might be, you know, two or three or four days before, you know, who you were sending it to got it. So it meant something. You know, in today's world, you just sit down and type anything and send it off, and in a heart flash, you know, it's there.
Yes.
You know the schedule here. Hang on, folks. We've got the commercial time coming up here, and we'll be back.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
So here we fight all through the night.
I'll go ahead and break in here, folks. Yeah, I once again, thanks for listening. You know, that first commercial, I couldn't agree with it more, you know. Naturally raised meat products, yes, we are intended to eat meat, and, you know, you've got to have vegetables in with that, you know, to get a properly balanced diet, you know. Not like the food pyramid that they gave us long ago, or the new food pyramid where Lucky Charms are the top of the food pyramid, you know, and you've got to, if you don't eat Lucky Charms, you're going to die, you know. You know, everyone out there listening, you know, we all know that this is just, you know, crap. We live in a pretty twisted world, you know, and I did want to bring this up. You know, I had a couple of calls this last week, you know, from some of my RBN friends and family. You know, Amit, I believe he's up there in New York, you know, he talked with a very Indian accent because, you know, I'm pretty sure that he was raised in India and he's kind of hard to understand at times, but, you know, but he calls me up and he says, Alan, he said, you know, once you understand all of this, he said, it's very alone. You know, you feel very alone because you can't talk to, you know, your friends, your family, your neighbors anymore because they all think you're just bat crap crazy, you know. Sherry in Kansas called me the other night. You know, I don't know where she got my number. I gave my number out one time live on air. You know, I don't know if she wrote it down then, but, you know, but I do love hearing from y'all. You know, I know I'm not a lot of fun to talk to because I don't see a lot of bright things in this world. One of the bright things in this world, though, is my friend Matthew. Go on, Matthew.
Well, I mean, you brought up Lucky Charms, right?
Yeah.
Lucky Charms cereal, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what happens to you if you eat Fruit Loops, you know? Went to go make a pot of coffee, and I have coffee, but I dropped the coffee pot, broke it, all right? But I did have a Bud Light in the refrigerator, so so you know, we're in a period of history where basically the lie has become true, the lie has become normalized. People expect to be everything to be falsified and to hear only lies. So the truth-sayer is the heretic of the modern age.
Well, you know, my friend, this is like, you know, you hear all these people, it's like, my identity was stolen or this or that, you know? It's like, you know, folks, that's never happened to me, and guess why? Because I've never been on the Internet. I don't have a smartphone. I don't do everything electronically. I deal in cash as much as I can. I like face-to-face contact, you know? Unfortunately, you know, in today's world, about the only place you can go to get a lot of stuff is Walmart, because it drove all the mom and pops out of business. You know, if there's the mom and pop stores that are still locally owned around here, I will do business with them. Even if I have to pay, you know, a dollar or two more for an auto part or whatever, I will go to my locally owned, you know, part stores or, you know,
sure, but
as much
but
as I can.
Face to face contact, you know. Is a risk factor for the spread of COVID-19. Right, Mr. Crusher?
You're going to make me throw up in my mouth, man. It's too early in the morning for that.
I was at, during the, let's say, 2021, 2022, around then, at a performance at some theater, you know, like a play, you know. I totally detest Hollywood, but you know, theater, plays, free ticket, sure. And they were all wearing face shields, and the maitre d'armes, I don't know what they call them, you know, like the theater producer walks out and says, well, we can't sing, because if we sing, we can spread COVID.
Right. One of the funniest things during that whole COVID thing is, like, there's a little local gas station here still owned by a local person, and I went into it, and they didn't have a plexiglass shield up between, you know, the cashier and you. they had a piece of heavy Visqueen, and I looked at the lady, and I said, I love your redneck Visqueen. And she looked at me and started laughing. And she said, well, we've got it ordered. And of course, now, you know, they've got a piece of plexiglass, or, you know, during the COVID thing, they finally got a piece of plexiglass, you know, to put between, you know, the customer and you. But I looked at her and I said, I love your redneck plexiglass, because it was just like a sheet of saran wrap, you know, that they had, you know, on clothespins, you know, between you and the cashier. I mean, like, that was going to do something.
And these artifacts of war, and that's what they are going to be with the 6 feet apart circles, et cetera, which is still in our post offices and many other places. They're the equivalent of the fallout shelter signs from the 1950s that are still tacked up on government buildings, et cetera. I mean, I think a lot of them have been stolen so that you can sell them on eBay. But, you know, I mean, you know, we can't sing, because it could spread COVID. I mean, so
the liquor stores were allowed to remain open.
Oh,
weren't they?
Yeah, and strip clubs. It was very noticeable. It was prominent from, you know, the little history that I've read. But like I said, we are simultaneously losing the ability to write, and then, as the reciprocal of that, the ability
to think on your
capacity
own,
to read.
We're losing the ability to think on our own with your own brain. Everyone's brain is in their hand, and what's in their hand is in the cloud.
Absolutely. And spell check tells you how to spell. See, you know. So as we're losing, and you know, I mean, actually, my hand had atrophied over so many years of doing typing that when I actually had to write longhand with a fountain pen, I had to like build up the strength of my fingers and whatever else, and the ability
get
to write.
Get your muscle memory back to learn how to write. Yes.
Yeah, and this, you know, I'm about half a century old, so not to date myself, but you know, I remember the days of pen and paper, and what's occurring right now. Well, let's talk about France for a second. You know, one of the most historic and beautiful libraries in Marseille was burned to the ground. Ancient manuscripts, etc. So what we're going to be seeing is the purging of all libraries. And like I said, when you're losing the ability to write, and the ability to read, then you're basically stuck into a paradigm where you just
this is like you know folks, this man has a lot of old rare books, you know, and he was talking to me one time, and he said I'm going to donate them to this university. And I said, Matthew, I said, why? I said, you know, they're just going to take them and scan them into the cloud, and then they're going to throw that book, you know, in a shredder. You know, and that book will only exist in the cloud. And can history be changed in the cloud? You can damn well guarantee it's all being changed in the cloud and on the internet.
Yep, and Orwell, you know, in 1984, I read 1984. I remember two seminal things. 1984, I was 12 years old. And Van Halen album came out in 1984. You know, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? And then I got a book, 1984, and I thought, let's read it. And what I read seemed so shocking and so dystopian and so, I didn't know the word, dystopian. It just was too unreal. If he called it 2024, it would be so appropriate. But at least it gave us a couple decades to prepare. And what did preparation do? I mean, 9/11 was stage magic. COVID was stage magic. Absolutely. Now, what was injected, the experimental concoction that was injected in people was not an illusion. And 2024 is going to be a very difficult year. I mean, I foresee. But what's your take on that, Mr. Crutcher?
Well, Matthew, a lot of us, you know, guys like Jordan Maxwell, you know, before I was born, you know, I remember hearing him talking about, he said, yeah, in 1960, I was going around to college campuses and trying to inform people, you know, what was really going on, you know, that they're doing this, you know, that the power structure that's in place and what they have planned. You know, Charlotte Iserbeek wrote about it. You know, she was an insider, you know, Department of Education, or, you know, or what, you know, I forgot what she was in, but, you know, brought in by Ronald Reagan she had a friend that said, hey, you know, you want to go to this conference? I can't make it, you know, and they were talking about change agents, you know. So Charlotte, God bless her soul, you know, I hope I see her on the other side, because I'll go up and I'll give her a big kiss. You know, I talked to her on the phone several times, ordered her book, you know,
she's
in person from her.
And very brave woman.
You know, but, you know, people have been trying to warn us, and it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. But, you know, folks, it's a lot closer, especially in this digital age where they not only have control of this country, but
it's here.
Worldwide control.
No, I mean, coming, it's here, Alan. Come on.
The Third World War began long ago, but it's not a kinetic warfare. It's a mind war.
No, I mean, don't step in dog poop and say that it will happen. You might do it in a week. You're stepping in dog poop.
Unless it's on fire on your front doorstep, and then you got to stomp it out, right? Anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes here, folks. Hang on.
Like you said, it's in my head. The counter runs circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. When is it for the sun?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
Welcome back again, folks. This is Republic of Texas Radio. Republic of Texas. I heard someone, at that little shindig going out in South Carolina. I believe my friend Mike said, he said something about us. I forgot what show he was on, but there's only so much we can talk about Republic of Texas and Texas getting free, because if Texas breaks free and you're surrounded by the rest of the world that's enmeshed in this nightmare, how free can you be? You're going to be constantly at war, kind of like our most, free democracy that we live in, has been my whole lifetime. I can't remember, except for maybe 6 months, that we weren't in a war, with someone, Grenada or somewhere else. Yet, we're supposedly this bastion of freedom, yet we've got, military bases across this planet, and all these countries, they're a sovereign country. It's like, if you've got a foreign military base in your country, are you really a sovereign nation, or are you controlled and just a puppet? We live in such an illusion, folks. We've been manipulated so heavily, and especially since the internet came in, and then smartphones. Oh my God! I'm laying here right now having a labotomy session. I can tell you one thing: I will never give my dog a smartphone. She's going to remain pure and animal, and she will not be, perverted and bastardized like the rest of the world has. I live in nature. I've got a little deer outside that probably wants a bottle pretty soon, but that can wait till after the show. But anyway, I'm here talking with my friend Matthew. He lives down in Dr. Mary's Monkey Land. And folks, if you've never read that book, you've heard about it, Dr. Mary's Monkey by Ed Haslam. You know, it's an eye opener to the past. You know, and the one phrase in that book that just stood out to me like nothing else. You know, he went to a Jesuit high school. His father was very well connected. Was, you know, if you want to call it, an insider in New Orleans, and because New Orleans has been a pretty, you know, important power center since ye olde days. And one statement stood out. He said, well, at least in, you know, 30 or 40 years, if we have a vast increase in soft tissue cancers, we'll know where it came from. You know, and oh my God, you know. Look at the world around you today, you know, but this is before, you know, before the COVID, you know, vaccine and everything came out, and now it's just kicked into turbo drive. But I'll shut up and let my friend talk a little bit more.
Well, the whole COVID deception was, I personally don't believe there ever was a wild virus.
No.
There were news stories. And with news stories, you know, there was illusion. And they scared the hell, I almost used the S word, they scared the hell out of American people. People of the West.
You can say shiitake mushrooms, but try to revert from the four-letter word, yes.
Right, and fungi is very special, but that's another subject.
fungi can be fun. Yeah.
Absolutely, and therapeutic. But you see what they did is they, you know, and it was just so evident to me. I mean, I wasn't fooled for a second, not even a second. They used the rumor of a virus in order to facilitate the vaccine that they had made many years earlier. I mean, the vaccine in quotes, the, concoction, and parents.
Oh, my friend, fear is a more effective weapon than bullets and bombs.
We just live that. This is asymmetric warfare, you know.
Yes,
and I guess maybe, you know, someone told me, for a good friend of mine, that he believed that the way I think is influenced by a lot of head trauma. And he might be right. You know, being kicked in the head. You know, bike accidents, you know, maybe it is. Maybe you get knocked up a little bit, you know? I mean, a man who's never been punched in his face doesn't understand the nature of a fight. And that's a little philosophical.
Yeah,
I'll
agree with that. You know, I've always been more of a lover than a fighter. But, you know, I'm small, but I'm very wiry and very fast. And, yes, I will, and I have had to defend myself against much larger animals. Generally, at like a bar, you know, someone would get a bird under their ass. I've been in two really real fights in my life, and it was because someone was not going to let me go. Even though I didn't really do anything to them, they were just drunk, and they were big, and I was smaller, and they were going to screw with me. You know, it ended up not good for them because I'm very small, very wiry, and very fast. And I do know how to defend myself, and I did.
And
but I myself have never picked a fight on, you know, with anyone else. I don't like pain. I like living happy. You know, pain for me is not a good thing.
Look, you're the deer whisperer, all right? So, I mean, I've got high respect for you. But, you know, we're living in a world where self-defense is going to becoming prohibited. Legally unsanctioned, all right, the right to self-defense. Now, you can refuse love, but a fight is one thing that you can't really refuse. You know, you can refuse gifts. You can refuse, you know, an act of passion, an act of love, but you cannot refuse a fight when someone's determined to fight with you or attack you or rob you.
Matthew, don't you know you're just supposed to turn the other cheek? Well, what happens when both the cheeks on your face have been slapped and both the cheeks on your ass have been kicked? It's like, what else do you have to turn? No, you better defend yourself, damn it. And you're right. In today's world, defending yourself is more of a crime than the offense that was committed against you. We're so twisted.
The greatest desire of a good pugilist is for the antagonist or the competitor to turn his cheek, you know, and leave the chin exposed. Turning the other cheek is a recipe for losing, this existential battle.
Well, my friend, you know, when it comes down to defending yourself, like I said, I've been in two fights. You know what my first instinct was? Yes, Marcus of Queensbury, screw that, you know. It's like these guys were like, you know, 200-plus pounds, and, you know, I'm 160. I kicked them in the nuts, and when they bent over, I did an uppercut into their solar plexus and dropped them like a frickin' rock and walked off, you know.
So the solar never plexus had another frickin' problem is very effective, you know.
Yeah.
So we're losing the ability to write. As a corollary, we're losing the ability to read. Books will become unnecessary and taxed and then eventually burnt. But we're also losing the ability to fight or the want or the understanding of it. It is a perilous situation.
No, just call 911 and the cops will be there when you're laying on the ground with all your blood spilled everywhere. And they'll be there to mop up and make an investigation. But as far as saving you,
right,
no, they actually have no obligation to save you.
Right, but they're also losing the ability to write. So maybe there'll be a dictation, you know. when they mop up your blood, right? You know, they'll dictate, you know, what they believe happened.
You're right, my friend. You know, this was when I first moved down here. You know, I went into the DMV office. You know, I forget if I was getting my driver's license or doing my tax stuff or what. You know, whatever in the hell I was in the county office down there, and I started talking to the lady, and she looks at me and she whispers. She says, "You know, they're not even teaching them how to write in cursive anymore." And this was like in 2005, you know, 2006. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I know." And she said, what do they think they're doing? It's like, well, you know, this is when the internet was coming in, and it's all block lettering. And, you know, and it's like, you know, pretty soon it's like everyone will be signing their name with just an X, you know?
Well, and actually I've heard that is what's happening with this new generation. They're just signing with an X.
Well, no. They will sign their papers with an iris scan or a face scan or a DNA sample or something. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And as we edge into perpetual war. Now, we were talking about hemp earlier, I believe, or you were initially. The earliest known hemp artifact that I've been able to discover or have found, you know, writings and citations of, is a hemp rope excavated in Central Europe, I believe Czechoslovakia, it might have been Yugoslavia, but it was carbon dated to 30,000 years before present, and it was a hemp rope.
Yeah.
So the hemp rope is something of great antiquity, and possibly it may play a role in the future. Again, it's a wonderful fiber. The best paper, you know, has been composed of at least a blend of hemp fiber. And, hopefully, we have a rebirth of the art of letter writing, journal making, book binding, etc.
That will only come around, my friend, when everything goes to total hell and a lot of people are taken off this planet. That really, I'm sorry to say this, folks, don't really deserve to be here because they do not know how to survive on their own, you know, without electricity, definitely without a smartphone. Most of the people in today's world, if they were threatened with loss of their cell phone service, you know, it's like, well, I'll tell you what, yeah, this is like, you know, we were talking about, you know, East Germany. It's like, you know, if you informed on your neighbor, on your child, on your mother, on your brother, on your sister, on your friends, you know, you got rewards for it, you know, in East Germany. And that was back when they everything was on a card file system, you know. Now everything is instant, you know. It's like if they said, well, if you don't go along and inform on your family or your friends or, you know, infiltrate, basically, it's like you're going to lose your smartphone service. They would drop to their knees and suck any freaking phallic symbol that was stuck in front of them. It's like, which one do you want me to suck? Just to keep their smartphone service, because they can't live without it in today's world. I see it so clearly, my friend. You know, I know there are people out there who use it wisely, like you're like you. You know, you're on a smartphone, and we've got the music
it's
coming
a new
on.
Video poker. And, it's a new video poker.
Yep. And we'll be back here in a couple of minutes here, folks.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity.
Hey, Sam, are you there?
Big Pharma and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone. And new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
We'll go ahead and break in here, folks. Yeah, hey, you know, I was listening to the radio yesterday, you know, and all these guys are all down in South Carolina, you know, at the Dixie Republic, you know, down there in Traveler's Rest, I guess, South Carolina, I believe it is, you know. And I heard a name, you know, about a guy that lived in Fort Smith, Arkansas. His name's Joe McCutcheon. And I can remember living in, you know, I grew up in Fort Smith, Arkansas, then moved, you know, north into the mountains. You know, Fort Smith is right near the Arkansas River Valley. And Joe McCutcheon, I can remember reading his articles. He would write into the, you know, to the, you know, letters to the editor. And I can remember back then, you know, he would write in saying, you know, George Bush is a war criminal. You know, he's terrible. He's doing this. And this is well before, you know, before I was, you know, awake and aware of what's going on. And, you know, and I like most of the people, you know, thought of him, you know, it's like, what, this fruitcake, you know, George Bush, he's a good guy, you know. But, you know, before you wake up, you know, I heard this name, you know, Joe McCutcheon. I think he's like in his 90s now, but he's out there in Traveler's Rest with the guys out there. And if anyone's listening out there, you know, tell if you meet Joe McCutcheon, tell him that Alan Crutcher from Fort Smith, Arkansas said hello. I thought you were crazy back when I first read your letters to the editor in the Southwest Times Record, the newspaper that I used to deliver as a child in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Tell him that I said, you know, thank you. It's like, you know, I would love to have a conversation with you if you're still around. But anyway, you know, I sit here and I look at these commercials, and it's like Domino's Pizza, you know, has a commercial on, you know, 30-minute delivery or it's free. You know, now you can do Domino's Pizza pinpoint delivery, where it's like if you're down on the beach and you want a pizza, you know, you can order a pizza, but you have to give them your geolocating information so that and the driver will drive around and know exactly where you are in a beach with 1,000 people on it, and he'll walk up to you and say, here's your pizza, sir. But do you know, most people don't understand, you know, and they don't care anymore about they're giving up their geolocating information. And do you think that Domino's is not selling that, you know, that information, you know, that the pizza is just a byline in today's world. The data is the money, you know. It's so twisted, folks. You know, people have no idea what personal privacy and being alone and introspective thinking, they have no idea what that means in today's world anymore. And I feel so freaking alone out here. I don't do that crap. Anyway, Matthew, are you there? I understand we have Mike in Kentucky on the line. And Mike, hang on. We'll get to you after the top of the hour. We've only got a minute or two left here. But Matthew, any thoughts?
What I'll say is what they'll give you first is a free Domino's pizza. And then as a follow-up, you know, then it's a Hellfire missile. I'm not sure, you know, based on your GPS location at the time. When the Amazon trucks and Amazon.com flourished at the exact moment of the lockdown, I mean, you know, you call that fortuitous or, you know, central planning. So,
friend, it went from being able to go to your local grocery store or go to your local, you know, hardware store to ordering everything off the internet. They drove everyone to the internet, so everything that you did was tracked and traced. My God, you know, people, you know, what the powers that be, you know, I will call them they, them. Can I say exactly who they, them are? Well,
no,
I can
they,
give
them,
you a lot of, you know, I give you the Council on Foreign Relations, you know, the Committee of 300.
Hey, Alan, I warn you, Alan, do not misgender the powers that be, all right? Do not do that.
We'll be back at the top of the hour here, folks. Hang on.
Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung K, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.